We're going to look at our scripture this morning on the video screen, and the first what we're going to do is we're going to compare the shepherds and the wise guys. The two stories. We're going to find some common ground. We're going to find some ground, hopefully, that relates to us. And so we're going to start with the lowly shepherds. And what little bit I know about shepherds, even after a little bit of study, is this, that they were lowly. Because you hear that in songs, the lowly shepherds. So I know that they were lowly because I've heard it on the internet. And that makes it true. Now, what we know about the shepherds is that it wasn't the best job. King David was a shepherd to start with. And he was the youngest kid, and the youngest kid back then didn't get coddled. The youngest kid got all the crummy work that nobody else wanted. And so King David, before he was King David, he was David the shepherd, which meant he got the job that all the older brothers graduated out of, and it was a stinky job, and it was a lonely job, and it was the lowest paying job, and it was somewhat dangerous. And so God, in His wisdom, as He shared the incarnation, which is the fleshifying of God, chose to give it the message to the lowly shepherds. And in honor of children on Christmas, we're going to watch our scripture on video. Here we go.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. The Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. The city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
And so, there's the story of the shepherds. God appeared to the shepherds and the lowly shepherds. God also appeared to the well-to-do wise guys. And we sing songs about them, and we don't sing about the wise men so much as we sing about we three kings, right? And so what we know a little bit about the wise guys is that they were astronomers. They saw a sign from God. It wasn't exactly the same way. But they, what we know about them is they were rich. So we had the lowly shepherds, and now we have the well-to-do wise guys. They were rich, and they were well-to-do, and they were very learned and educated, unlike the shepherds. And so there's another passage that talks about how God revealed Himself.
When Jesus was born in the village of Bethlehem in Judea, Herod was king. During this time, some wise men from the east came to Jerusalem and said, Where is the child born to be king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. And the star they had seen in the east went on ahead of them, until it stopped over the place where the child was. They were thrilled and excited to see the star. When the men went into the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother, they knelt down and worshipped him. They took out their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh and gave them to him. Later, they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, and they went back home by another road.
And there we have the biblical account of the wise guys. Like you've never seen before, right? And where did the wise guys come from? No, the east. They came from the east. Just get that right. So we have the lowly shepherds and we have the wise guys. We have the two stories. And I want to compare the two for you. And then the wise guys received a miraculous sign of different types. The miraculous sign that came to the angels, to the shepherds, was alive angels singing and talking, all right? Now, pretty much, you would get that, right? I mean, sometimes you seeing an angel come to you, that would kind of clear things up most of the time, wouldn't it? It's like, oh, I get it. And so the shepherds, because of the magnitude of the fleshifying of God, chose to do that with the lowly shepherds. He came to them and he said, here's how it's going to happen. And boom, they got the message loud and clear. The wise guys, on the other hand, they saw a star. So God spoke to them in a language that they understood that you and I might miss. It's like, oh, a star, that's cool. But they, studiers of stars, said, this is a significant time. This is a significant event. And God spoke to them in their own language, and he revealed himself to them, and he said, I want you to respond to this in their own way. And so, we have the miraculous sign that came to both of those. Secondly, we have the fact that both of those acted on the revelation. God came to the lowly shepherds, and he brought them this revelation that was clear and unmistakable, and they were required to act on it. And while the story doesn't give us all the details, it says, you will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in the manger, right? So it happened, right? So they acted upon that revelation, and they went and they found the baby based on the Word of God that came into their lives. And then, for the wise guys, they did exactly the same thing. They went, when they didn't find a baby, it says they found a child because their travel was much further. So we have a miraculous sign that they both had. We also have the fact that they both acted on a revelation. God revealed something to them. They moved. We have a third key element that ties those two together, those two stories together. And that is that they both had disruptive lives. Disrupted lives. God spoke to the shepherds, and all of a sudden they had to start making some other plans. And I don't know exactly how they did it, but they made it to see the baby Jesus. But somehow they still had sheep, right? And so either they had some really unhappy bosses because they just left the sheep in the field, which I kind of doubt that they would do, I don't know. Or maybe they moved their flocks and they brought the whole entire flock to the manger, which would be real kind of weird too. So I don't really know how they did it. Maybe they did. Maybe they were just so excited to hear from God they said, I don't care. Or said a prayer, God, please protect these sheep. We're going to see what you told us. I don't know how it worked. But they got a disrupted life. They had this routine, even though they were lowly and poor. They did have some responsibility, and God stirred it up. And in a way, messed it. The disrupted life came to the lowly shepherd, but also a disrupted life came to the well-to-do wise guys. Their life disruption may have lasted longer, and it may have been a little more deep-rooted, because those of us who were rich in the world's economy, as we look across the world, we have more to lose just because we have stuff like electricity and such things. And while they didn't have those, they had many of the comforts, and they were educated people, and they spent their time in books and looking at stars and having great debates and discussions, and they had the white-collar type jobs. And their disruption meant they had to leave the comfort of their homes. They had to leave the studies and cronies that they rubbed elbows with every day, and that, so they had to leave their safety. Now, instead of being protected and revered, they had to hop on camels and travel long distances through lands and encounter people like Herod, who we learn from the scriptures was later out to kill the Christ child because he didn't want any competition for his kingship. He ran into this evil, wicked man, and their safety was it in peril, or was in jeopardy? And so they had a disrupted life that probably surpassed those of the lowly shepherds. They acted on the revelation. They acted in haste. When God spoke, they got to it. They had a disrupted life. It seems like they didn't really mind it that much. Why? Because they heard from God. And when we hear from God, and I wonder how long it's been since you've heard from God in a way that got you up and disrupted and happy at the same time. Doesn't it seem like when God disrupts us, it's not a happy disruption? Oh, God. God wants me to go minister to somebody. Oh, God wants me to help people. Oh. And the disrupted life is what the Christian life's about. Because when the King comes and makes his home in your life, that's what he's going to do. He's going to do his stuff. And we need to learn to be like the shepherds and the wise guys. and embrace these disruptions. The last thing they had in common that I'm going to share with you this morning is that they had a changed life. The shepherds went back, and that the Bible doesn't record either of these, but you can just imagine both of these being so phenomenal that it didn't ever happen like this, that the shepherds went back after hearing the angel and forgot about it. And they never ever talked to any of their other shepherd friends about it because it just wasn't that big a deal. And so the lowly shepherds had a changed life and a story to tell. And their story involved singing angels and whatever else happened that we didn't get the full record of. And the well-to-do wise guys, well, they talked of a miraculous star, and everybody saw the miraculous star, but they understood what it meant. And they were the elite people who figured it out because they had been studying the stars for all their lives, looking for God, believing that God would speak to them through astronomy, not astrology, but astronomy, through the way He made things. And they felt like it was a revelation, and they acted on it the way no one else did, and they followed that star. And they had a story to tell. And you can bet they didn't go back after their long, long, long journey there and back and take up their books and not write about it and not talk about it and not be excited about it. So with these four things, we want to see how it comes to bear on our lives. If you're a believer in Christ, you've had a miraculous encounter with Christ. There are no ordinary encounters. I learned that I was destined for a place separated from God in a place called hell. And I learned about how Jesus died to take my sins away. And now He freed me from those sins. That's not how it happens for anybody. It's always miraculous when God reveals in our own circumstance His will, His Son, and His love to us. And if we're believers in Christ, we acted on that revelation. We said, oh, God, I need this. I need Your Son, and I need Him now. And you acted with haste, and you said, yes, I'm ready for that. And you moved, and you found some disruptions in your life, because now all of a sudden God started to do some work in your life, and He said, oh, you can't do this anymore, and you can't do that anymore. And God began to work in your life, and He disrupted you. And at first it was really great, and then after a while, maybe it got to be a secondary story in your life. But you had a story to tell. And my question is it still on your lips? Is it still in your life? Because if He's changed your life, the story's maybe old to you, but it's new to someone else. Christmas is a story of God and a box. As they tried to understand God, tried to put God in a box and come up with rules and lists and figured out how God was, and you know, that's a good thing, good, this box. And God is not going to be put in a box by you and I. Whatever box you got for God, He's going to come and He's going to bust it wide open. He's going to change it around. He's going to make it different. Only box He puts himself in that way at least, is by the Scriptures. He'll fulfill His promise, so we can put Him in that box. But other than that, you think God's going to always act this way and always do these things? He's not. He's going to come busting into your life, and He's going to do it to bring glory to His name, glory to God in the highest. But God in His wisdom wouldn't be put in a box, but He came down, and He was born. And guess where they put Jesus? In a box. And by His own plan and His own design, He took the God who can't be put in a box because He's everywhere in the universe at the same time, and He confined Himself, at least in fleshly form, to a small box. And the personality and the soul of one person, His Son, Jesus Christ. The final part of the story is that, of course, He lived a perfect life. He died for those who would believe that He is truly the Lord. and give Him control of their life, came back to life, and then God chose another box. In this box. And He lives in the human shells of mankind who choose to believe. He provides power. And He provides meaning. And He provides purpose in His gift. So as we compare ourselves to the lowly shepherds and the well-to-do wise guys, we're right there with Him. Right there with Him because God loves us. God's given us the same opportunities to know Him, to love Him, and to live out His plan, the gift that now lives in the hearts of those who believe. I invite you to pray with me if you would. Father, if there